RC, Heidi, and Frank. 520-9710. 888-520-9710. The Frosty, Heidi, and Frank Show. Day after the election, obviously, you might have heard about that. We're talking about it.
Triple election.
520-9710 is our number. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
What coverage did you watch last night?
All of them. I was Mr. Channel Flipper. I can't help it. When someone starts to bore me, I flip around.
I was going from CNN to Fox, going back and forth. And just because I wanted to see the CNN guys be all upset and long-faced while the Fox guys are more happy about it. It's so funny, the coverage from one to the other. It's kind of amusing.
No, there was a great thing that DirecTV was doing, and I should have called you both. It was amazing as I was flipping through, and then it said, for more election coverage and channels, go to channel 352. And when you go to 352, there were eight channels in, like, small boxes. Remember what picture-in-picture used to be like? So they had eight boxes.
Eight networks?
Had CBS, NBC, ABC, and Fox, and then the CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, and BBC. And you could kind of go with your arrow and go, oh, Anderson Cooper's talking. I'm going to go, ooh, and then I went, ooh, Rachel Maddow. Click over.
Ooh, you think she's attractive?
And then I go,
she's probably upset about Prop 8.
So I would go to Anderson Cooper and I'd click on that and you could see everything.
Well, that's cool. You should have called me.
I'm sorry.
Did you see this? Because I missed this. Like I said, I was going back from CNN to Fox, but I guess on CNN last night, that they had some hologram things they used to beam guests in to talk to Anderson Cooper.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
I missed it.
Oh, it was cool. It was like Princess Leia.
It looked like Princess Leia from Star Wars when R2-D2 projected her out there so Luke could see the message.
Was that girl's last name Yellen?
I think
that was the first one who did it ever.
And Will I Am from Black Eyed Peas was beamed in.
So cool.
And the first time they did it was early in the night, and I thought the technology would have progressed since the 70s, but she still had like a sparkly border.
Like a green, a fluorescent
like
green.
A green sparkly light
so
around her body.
Clear.
Well,
kinda, she was did it crackle in and out.
She was all right.
No,
she was missing her feet though. Did you see the feet just sort of ended at her pants?
And it was a 360 degree image of the person.
Like 120 cameras on her from all angles or something, and she was moving a little slightly jerky like an old movie.
That's cool.
Very cool.
Instead of via satellite, it was via hologram.
It was awesome.
Yeah,
and because Wolf Blitzer's like he's standing. Right, looking right at her, appears that they're standing together talking to each other. And he goes, this is so cool. But she's in a tent in Chicago or something somewhere.
They're making a big deal of the fact this is the first time it ever been done on television,
cool.
A live hologram. And it worked.
I'd probably be able to see it on YouTube or something. I'm sure I'll be able to find it. But yeah, that'd be so kick-ass.
Right.
Once they perfect that technology so it looks a little bit more fluid and more clear, I'm sure that'll be the next generation of
phones.
TV news or... What, yeah, telephones or even TV shows projected right through your front room.
Phone sex would be a little more interesting.
Oh.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't touch her, but like, right there.
You're getting away the cameras if you want.
You'll pass right through her.
Yeah.
Well,
like
no,
effing a ghost.
No. Well, so isn't that on your list of things to do before you die?
It's already been done.
Oh, all right.
It was poker.
Poker. Did you poker, guys? Whatever that means.
It's poltergirlst. But homo.
Yeah, Prop 8, easy.
Forgive me. I could be crying again.
Our number's 888-520-9710. I still have to tell you my crying story. I'll get to that in a minute.
All right.
We have calls.
Hello, Molly.
Hi.
What's up?
First of all, I found myself agreeing with Frosty, and I was kind of afraid for a second. But, you know, I was thinking about what you guys were saying as far as Jesse Jackson was concerned, and one thing you failed to mention is the fact that Jesse Jackson has been around for a while, so he's seen so much, you know, from a historical perspective.
He also ran for president, don't forget, and lost, so this also meant a lot to him.
Right. I mean, but to imagine seeing King being assassinated, you know, being there and around that time, so, you know, perhaps there was something more than just, I'm going to, you know, play it up for Oprah and Stedman. You know, it might have been something real to it.
But do you think some of the tears might have been, it should have been me?
Sure, because he's already expressed the fact that he was a wee bit, you know, jealous and maybe somewhat insecure about Barack. You know, we heard that a couple of months ago.
Well, if he didn't have marbled mouth, maybe he could have gotten elected.
What is some sort of...
You know what the hell he's talking about?
I listen to what did Jesse Jackson say. I play that game all the time. So, you know.
On Tim Conway's show.
Hilarious.
Right. Yes, it's sad. But the other thing was what they were flashing on, you know, the blacks and, you know, black people going crazy. And it was like, you know, you get that. But I was telling the woman who answered the phone that I worked yesterday at a phone bank in East L.A. And we went outside for a rally. And when we were standing outside, it's a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. All the people were driving by. They're blowing the horns and going crazy and shouting out the window, you know, whatever. And the people that were there at the phone bank were predominantly white and Hispanic. So it wasn't just, you know, black people were proud.
Exactly.
It was everyone. So, you know, I'm sure if they would have had a camera over in East L.A. in that area, people were going crazy. It was like, yeah, Obama, Obama. And every time, you know, you walk and people are talking to you, what do you think? Oh, I'm so excited. So, you know, it wasn't just black people who we have a lot to be happy about. It was the nation, and that's why he won, because we know if it was up to just the black vote, you know, we'd be congratulating McCain this morning.
You know, I happened to flip over just as the vote was over the top. I think I was watching CNN. I flipped over just for a second to NBC, and Tom Brokaw, I heard him sniffle. I heard him get all weepy. Hard to tell with his voice sometimes, that slight impediment, but I think he was choking.
Talk about marble mouth.
And showing the crowd, as they were panning the crowd of 150,000 people in Chicago, his voiceover said essentially, look at this. This is the people who elected him. This is America. And as he was saying those words, the camera just happened to have a shot of almost every nationality you can think of. It's like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise. It was a good time to say those words. Now, I think Frank had issue with them zooming in on specific black people, but it's true. It's, you know, a lot of people celebrated last night who are of different races, different nationalities. It's not just a black victory.
No, it's not.
And that's what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
If there was a guy who...
Thanks for making my point.
Better.
Obama Lay video. I don't know if you guys have seen it on YouTube. And if you look, I mean, he's Hispanic. The people that were in the video were white, black, and Asian. And I live in a predominantly Asian neighborhood, and it was quiet last night, but there were people on the phone. Yeah. So they were driving through neighborhoods. I'm like, what are all those horns? Like, people are in the street celebrating.
You mean they all didn't pile into a dragon and start doing a little parade down the street? No! I guess if the dragons are the cleaners, no one can party.
Yeah, well, they pick it up today. Daylight. Sucks.
Neil and Torrance, what's up? Hey, Neil. Neil just hung up. How about you, Andy, in San Pedro?
Hey, Posse.
Hello.
Heidi and Frank.
Andy.
My favorite trio, and I will not call you the Trips. That's verboten. Heidi, I'm really with you on this Proposition 8.
Thanks, Andy.
I voted for Barocco. I was so happy. And I'm white bread, okay? But I live in a really mixed neighborhood, okay? And I voted no on Proposition 8.
Thank
you. And I'm as bummed out as you are. And I'm not gay, but I have a lot of friends that are. You know, that's what we used to say back in the 60s. I got a lot of black friends, you know. But anyway, the thing is, I walk my dog, and Frosty made a good point earlier, which is, you know, not just where he parts his hair, but I walk my dog three or four times a day, and I walk, you know, five or six blocks. And like I said,
boring!
Okay, now wait. No.
If you have a pony, now's a good place to stick it in.
Obama stickers on the windows, on the cars, but vote yes on Prop 8. I see that with the Latino families. So, Frosty, you actually made a good point.
Because the Catholic connection may have, on religious reasons.
That's really true, but a lot of black folks in the neighborhood had Obama stickers, but yes, on. I never saw
that's because black people stereotypically are homophobic.
Even though there are a lot of black people who get down.
Is that true?
Yeah.
On the down low.
Well, you just taught me something, Frank.
No, seriously, they really are.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Where'd except for, that? Like, Lamar Luttrell on Revenge of the Nerds. But everybody else, yeah, I mean, I think I'll have to ask my big black friend who's going to stop by to give you a hug later.
Is it Morgan Freeman?
No.
Is it?
Let me give you a hint.
All right.
I'm going to give hints out.
I'm intrigued.
See if they can guess who it's going to be. Let's see. He is an NFL Hall of Famer.
Willie Davis.
Oh.
No, not Willie Davis.
Okay, a black guy who was in the NFL and he's a Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Shouldn't be
that's
too
first
hard.
First clue.
Rosie Greer.
He's going to be coming on at noon.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, he's coming in. He's going to hang out with us.
It's not Rosie Greer?
I'm excited.
Okay.
Interesting. That's a tough one because there's not too many blacks in the NFL.
All right, let me narrow it down a little
okay,
bit.
Okay.
Possibly greatest defensive player in NFL history.
William the Refrigerator Perry?
No.
Oh.
Huh. Well, that eliminates Brian Boitano.
And he wasn't in the NFL.
Okay, right.
Unless the F stands for something else.
Intriguing. Who can it be?
And he would be a Hall of Famer if there was an NFL for that.
Matt, what's up?
Hey, is it Lawrence Taylor?
Well, look at you, Matt. LT's coming in to hang out with us at noon.
Oh, no! My God. How the hell did you get that, Matt?
He's the greatest defensive player ever.
Yeah, I guess that kind of gave it away for people who are football fans. Yes, I'm going to give you a prize for guessing that Lawrence Taylor's coming in at noon. A pair of tickets to see Joe Satriani at the Will Turn November 13th. For tickets, hit up Ticketmaster.com.
Well, how cool is that? How'd you pull that off, Frank? You close personal friends?
Now you get to hug a big black man.
Wow.
I'll hug LT.
Because of Obama's victory last night.
I'm going to put some color film in my camera. Glad I brought it in today.
You're awful.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it sounds like it should be fun. If it were a sitcom, it'd be a laugh track, and it would sound funny.
Well, let's be honest. We're no sitcom.
I know.
And I don't have Heidi's laugh queued up.
Thank
other than
God.
That,
damn it.
My point is valid, other than all those things. Gabriel in San Gabriel.
Hey, Heidi. I just want to say I love you. And
thank you.
You know, this Prop 8, it's not over, you know. We will come back and fight.
We will fight on, Gabriel, you and I.
I mean, I know you were disappointed. I was disappointed. Me and my partner, we were standing in our kitchen watching the news, and he just came up behind me and gave me a hug and just whispered in my ear, like, you know, it's not over. And, yeah, I could see, like, tears building in his eyes, and I don't know. I mean,
Gabriel, how about you look at it like this? There's probably lots of, you know, look at the early black people who ran for president. The Alan Keyes, the Jesse Jackson, the Shirley Chisholms, anyone else who you don't even know who ran for president who was black and only got a fraction of the vote. It took a while. They take you a little more seriously. Al Sharpton, a little more seriously. Now we got a black president. So maybe
our day will come,
your
Gabriel.
Your vote yesterday got you a bigger percentage than you got 10 years and 20 years ago. You're almost there. Keep at it, and maybe next time you'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, we've been engaged for 2 years because I proposed to him on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
And, we're just hoping, and, you know, I'm not going to give up.
You're going to cry?
No, maybe.
I know, Gabriel. It's tough to talk about when you're passionate about it. Thank you.
I mean,
at least the chickens won. Can't you be happy for somebody? And Rusty, he's emailed me about the possibility of getting eggs from Mexico now because you guys want chickens to have some exercising room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He said, now, the great thing about possibly having Mexican eggs trucked in is that what normally you would find a dozen eggs in a carton of eggs, now you open up probably 30, 40 eggs in there. All living in the dozen, you know. Okay.
Funny.
Or the carton's now shaped like an old Toyota pickup truck.
Hey, I've got a brilliant idea. How about we put some sort of extra tax, a tariff or whatever, for Mexican imported eggs, and that money goes to help subsidize low-interest loans for the farmers who have to buy more land to make bigger chicken farms with bigger cages.
So Mexican
eggs
would be more expensive.
Paying for it.
Huh.
Must I think of everything?
I guess so.
What do you think?
Nah.
I think it's brilliant. Joel, hello.
Hello there, guys.
What's up?
Two things. First on Jesse Jackson. I think he's crying because he was realizing he has to get a real paying job right now.
Yeah, it sort of took some of his shtick away.
And then the second is he's like, man, he's not even full black. He's only half black.
I can only be half proud. Is that what you're saying? That's awful.
Yeah, and the second on 8, Heidi.
Yeah.
I picked the wrong day to pull up your guys' website for the first time. I saw your pictures, so I ended up voting yes because I didn't want to put the Italian through any pain the rest of her life.
You bad, dude.
Got another email coming in saying, are ratings that bad? You have to have that old guy Andy ramble on almost once a week.
No more Andy then for a while?
Yeah, his voice is getting annoying. I mean, thank you, Andy, for calling, but you do stick out.
All right.
Maybe we only have 9 listeners. Is that possible and he's one of the 9?
Yeah.
Yes, it's very possible.
Well, if you would call instead, you'd tie up the line and Andy couldn't get through.
Yeah. We just sort of take these calls randomly, and if he's there, he's on. Ryan, hello.
Hey. I was watching Fox News last night, partly because it was hilarious, their reactions.
Yeah, wasn't it great?
But did you see after he was elected, they had Ralph Nader on, and he said, he was quoted as saying, I hope he will be Uncle Sam to the country as opposed to Uncle Tom to the corporations.
No, did
Are
he say
kidding?
That?
I'm not kidding you. I T-voted just that segment. And they had Fox News actually ringed him.
Are you at home? Do you have it right now or are you at work?
I'm driving. I'm sorry.
So they didn't let him get away with that? They nailed him?
No, but they were like, that's the end of his career. But, you know, Ralph said something like, well, I don't take bullies like you. I'm just looking at the camera. Are you kidding me?
By the way,
it's time for him to go away. He's just an ugly, annoying old fart.
Mm-hmm. You know, the last numbers I saw, even though he isn't old, the over fart, he got over 500,000 votes.
Was that like 1%, though?
Yeah, but it's still 500,000 people.
I got a vote.
Did you?
Someone, I guess, wrote me in, like one of those computer touchscreen things that you can actually type something in. I don't know if you can do that or not, but my name was on there. If you go to frostyaudiofrank.com right now on the Newton's Cradle, someone took a picture with their phone. They actually put Frank Kramer under, you know, you see Obama and Biden and everybody else right there, and it's Frank Kramer, X.
Oh, that's funny. So when the official tally hits the history books, you're in there.
I'll be in this election.
Are you sure that you didn't do that?
Oh, it was you.
No, I didn't have the touch screen. I had the arrows you connect.
Yeah, I had the little inky thing.
Call me crazy, but in this, the most important election of our entire lifetime, maybe the century, would you call that a wasted vote?
Well, if he was going to vote for Obama, he was going to win it.
It's not a wasted vote.
Of all the times to have a silly prank vote.
Going to be Palin Kramer 2012.
Yeah, good luck to you.
Right.
She kind of ruined it for McCain.
She's going to get a talk show.
Yeah, but she did get the largest applause last night when he was giving his losing speech.
Well, because he's preaching to the choir there.
But even when he walked out there, and it's like,
yeah,
and I want to thank, you know, Governor Sarah Palin.
Yeah, like, I noticed it too. It's a little weird.
People dig her. I wouldn't blame her for losing it.
Did you notice the where McCain decided to have his, this before the votes were coming in, of course, they chose where they wanted to have their, you know, rally and make the speeches.
Yeah.
Obama wisely chooses a massive field in Chicago where they can accommodate 150,000 people. McCain chooses a ballroom in a hotel. A very quiet ballroom in a hotel.
I thought it was outside.
They moved it outside later, but the first part was just very small, like at the Hilton, the one you rent out for wedding reception. Oh, and you might not have known this. I think it was CNN, the reporter pointed this out, that when the election results started coming in and the tide started turning against McCain, they shut the TVs off there in that room. So the crowd, they weren't showing the McCain supporters how bad they were about to lose.
They were showing Hank Williams Jr.
Just
singing.
Just Hank on stage. Our number is 888-520-9710. Hello, Charlene.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, Charlene.
Hi. I just wanted to say that, well, I didn't vote for Obama. It was a tax thing, whatever. It doesn't matter. But this morning, I got up and my 14-year-old was up, and he knew that we had voted for McCain. And I saw the people in the park, and I looked at my son and I said, I have never, ever been so proud to be an American in my entire life. I haven't been able to stop crying all day.
So even though you didn't vote for him,
it
changed.
Oh, my God. It did. It just swept over.
So now you're glad that Obama's the president.
Well, we'll have to see about the tax thing and, you know, tax. My
tell her tears to suck back into her head. We'll have to see about the tax thing.
Well, it was a big sticking point for people.
Well, yeah, if you start taxing, you know, everybody's, you know, somebody said, you know, at work today, they said, what about the people that make under $200,000? I said, it's not going to matter if you tax the heck out of the bosses and you make unemployment.
Exactly.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, the bosses can't afford to keep you.
Exactly. That was my big, you know, thing, because I just work for
I've had to let some people go at my company.
Your corporation. Yeah.
But you know when you have teenagers, you ask yourself, am I doing a good job? Because when they get mine's 14 and they all of a sudden get stupid. Well, but, you know, and you ask yourself, you're doing the right thing. And,
right.
And I was standing there, tears running down my face, and
feel like you've done the right thing.
I'm going to give you Andy's number. You call him up, and you guys continue this conversation, okay, sweetheart?
After break.
Love you.
Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Bye.
See ya.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
Today after the election, all of you got a lot to say about it. We're taking your calls, 888-520-9710.
But first,
and then Prop 8.
We got a call from earlier from a listener saying that Ralph Nader mentioned something about, I think it might have been CNN or Fox, I'm not sure which network, but he mentioned that, I should just let you hear it.
It's Fox News.
Ralph
about
the
Uncle Tom comment he made about Barack Obama, so let's just listen to it.
Guess who's here? The Independent Party candidate, Ralph Nader. This is his second run for the presidency since he played spoiler in the close 2000 contest. This year, he was on the ballot in 45 states plus D.C. This year, he was polling about 1%. Ralph, he spoke to Fox News Radio's Houston affiliate today and said this.
To put it very simply, he is our first African-American president, or he will be, and we wish him well. But his choice, basically, is whether he's going to be Uncle Sam for the people of this country or Uncle Tom for the giant corporation.
Really? Ralph Nader? What was that?
It's very simple. He has gone along with corporate power from the moment he entered politics in the state Senate, voted for the Wall Street bailout, supports expanding military budget that is desired by the military-industrial complex, and doesn't really have a tax reform thing for the ordinary fellow in this country, opposes single payer, full Medicare for all, because the giant HMOs, Aetna and Cigna, do, doesn't have a living wage. He's supposed to be respectful of the poor, hardly mentions him in his speech, so all the middle class, doesn't have a comprehensive program.
And you utter the words, Uncle Tom, are you
kidding? That's the question. Yeah, that's the question he's got. He's the first African American.
He didn't have to face it till it came out of your mouth. I mean, I just wonder if you don't realize that you had a number of supporters out there. You were running a percentage this year. You were reduced to irrelevant, and I just wonder now if that's what you want your legacy to be. The man who, on the night that the first African American president in the history of this nation was elected, you ask if he's going to be Uncle Sam or Uncle Tom.
Yeah, of course. He's turned his back on 100 million poor people in this country, African Americans and Latinos and poor whites, and we're going to hold them to a higher standard. It's just not an unprecedented career move, you know, in the White House. We expect more of Barack Obama.
You were reduced to complete irrelevance here. You weren't able to play spoiler. Will you run again?
Look, I don't like bullies like you. I can't see you. You can pull the plug on me. I'm looking in a dark camera.
You said, Uncle Tom, I didn't say it, sir, with respect. I said
that's the question he has to answer.
Who's the anchor there on Fox? I know the guy's face. I don't know his name.
Oh, that's
what's his name?
Shepard Smith.
Hats off to you, Shepard Smith.
Awesome.
We give you a standing ovation, buddy. Good for you.
Come on the show
that.
And have a beard with us.
No kidding.
Nailed that, son of a bitch. Good for you.
Reduced to irrelevant.
I'm glad that he took him to task for that. And if Ralph Nader doesn't understand why that's wrong,
that's the question you got to answer.
Okay, how can you explain that? Once it's come out of your lips, there's no way to put spin on that.
Well, you could say that was just a...
Oops. Sorry.
That was an oopsie. Oopsies.
Didn't mean it.
Call an oopsie.
Oopsie daisy. My bad.
So, you know, California has a lot of people who are liberal, and a lot of people who cast protest votes. Those of you who did cast your vote for Ralph Nader because you didn't like Barack or John, this is the guy. That's your candidate there. You 550,000 people or whatever you are, that's the guy you wanted to be president. Are you? Yeah, okay, nice.
You know, I think we need to call an oopsie on ourselves.
What happened?
Remember Andy, the guy who called two breaks ago, and we said boring and hung up on him?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, he was on for a long time.
Quinn, who listens to the whole show, thank you, Quinn, he says, isn't Andy the same guy that called and said that he was going to kill himself and he found you guys? You guys probably made him kill himself by telling him never to call in again, and he rambles on about nothing. Wasn't he the guy?
Well, yes.
Well, okay. Hey, Andy. Oopsies.
Call back anytime. Right. Andy's the one whose wife left him because she's a lesbian, but he still supports lesbians and gays.
Yes, and then he said, I was going to kill myself, and I found you guys. And you guys are my family now.
She left him with nothing but a transistor radio.
And that's why he calls every week, because we're the only thing he has in
his
life.
Support.
And we just said, Andy, never call you.
We made a whoopsie, Andy.
Okay, sorry. Okay,
whoopsie.
Andy, assuming,
it's not a whoopsie, it's oopsie.
Oopsie.
Assuming Andy is something different. Still listening.
Okay.
The reason you like the show, Andy, is because there's people other than you.
That's
calling
an oopsie
on.
During sex. A whoopsie.
Yeah, a whoopsie is your
whoopsie.
Excuse. Wait, sorry, baby. An oopsie is what we did and what Ralph made.
Okay,
did.
Sorry,
but,
Ross.
Andy, since you like to listen to us,
don't kill yourself.
No, don't. Please don't. But we gave you more time than we give most callers, and if we had you on more, no one else would like the show.
Right.
So,
well, that's not going
to
help
him. So we
have
to go with the greater good. There's one of him, and there's a million other people who don't necessarily want to hear him drone on
him.
For 5 minutes. So, Andy, listen. Please, listen.
Maybe only people listen to hear Andy's calls.
Call in now and then, Andy, but the everyday thing for 5 minutes getting a little old.
Mm-hmm.
Love you.
And get to the, well, here's the thing. Just get to the point,
people. That applies to all of you.
Andy's like, I love you guys. Maybe the story about his going to kill himself and found us. That's a nice one.
Right. That was
but
true.
If you've been on and you've already said that, the next time you call us, well, you know us. You told us your story. Just get to the point.
Get right to it. We have ADD
over
here.
We've got people on hold for like an hour. We're not even going to get on because we gave that guy so much time. We can't make special, we can't give you special, what's the word?
Special
treatment. You know what? Like the gays want with that Prop 8 thing. They want the special treatment.
What are you trying to make me
cry? We can't give you that.
You bully.
Like the chickens. Like they want special treatment. treatment. No, you're not getting that, Andy.
You're going to stay in the same cage you're all in now.
But don't kill yourself.
No, please don't.
No,
we
Andy.
We really do need you.
Look at it this way, Andy. We consider you part of our family if we pick on you because we pick on each other because we care about each other. If we're not picking on you, we don't give a damn about you.
Right.
So we're picking on you a little, which means we've already accepted you.
Good spin there, Ralph. So, Andy, the callers you hear us that we don't mention afterwards, we could care less about it. We gave you five more minutes here. You should feel special.
Yeah.
Larry, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I just wanted to call. First of all, I wanted to say the reason why Jesse Jackson was crying because he wasn't the first African-American.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And, Frank, as far as you saying, why did they show the black people at Ebenezer Church?
Boring!
And other
I'm kidding, Larry. I'm kidding.
Boring. But check this out. I'm 52 years old, and mm-hmm. I grew up when I used to go through books, and you didn't see a black person inside of that book. I mean, our ancestors being hung and burned and killed just because they're being black. I'm proud as hell to be an American today.
Me too.
Period. Obama said it best last night. We're not black, white, Hispanic, Asian, blue, red. This is the United States of America, and all of us need to get over this.
We're American. Yes, Larry.
And let's do this.
Preach on, brother.
Let's do this. Let's come together. I mean, we need each other right now more than we've ever needed each other.
It's almost like
all the negative comments that are made, we need to get over that. Nobody said anything about when McCain made his speech, how the people booed when he mentioned
Barack
Obama.
We did talk about that, Larry, and how wrong that was. And thank God for John McCain that he stepped in and said, no, stop it. Please stop it. This is our president.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm going to say. And Heidi,
I'd
like to swipe you like an ATM, girl.
Well, all right. What's your four-digit PIN?
Is it bigger than four digits? She's bigger than four digits.
I love you guys. You guys
thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, baby.
Our number's 888-520-9710. Don't forget to, I got to tell you my story of being weepy.
All right.
Not now. I know we have calls, but I cried
yesterday.
You
should wait till LT's here, and then you can cry in front of him.
No, it's not that big of a... Can I just tell you now, just kind of quick, like...
Your crying story?
Well, yesterday, when I went to vote, I voted after the show, like I guess you did, Heidi, and the line wasn't too terribly long.
Yeah, it was like 3 o'clock.
Yeah, so I happened to time it right. There were like 80 people there in the morning, so I had to wait and vote after work, and there were about 10 or 12 people there, and so I'm waiting. And I recognize the lady who runs the Villa polling station because I've voted there for years now, and it's in her garage. The garage door open. You walk into the garage. They got five or six voting little booths there, and she's behind the table, and she happens to be a black woman.
Right.
And I've recognized her every time I vote. I finally understood this election that's her house, not just she's a helper.
Yeah.
It's her place.
You couldn't believe she lived up in the hills?
Well, I mean, her kids, I've seen her kids helping out, coming and going in the house. Like they own. Anyway, so like, okay, it's your house. So I'm standing there waiting for my ballot, and she goes, you get the next machine, and the guy I was waiting on was a black guy, and he had his black daughter and son waiting the other end of the table, so when he got done voting, he would turn around and leave with them. And as he turned around, and as I am standing there in front of this woman in front of the table, the guy turns around, and he had tears running down both cheeks. And I saw it, and out of modesty, I looked away. I didn't want to stare at the guy, but it touched me deeply, and it really moved me to the point where I got a little teary as he approached his daughters and he put both arms around both of his kids and started walking down her driveway that was lined with American flags waving in the breeze. Charles Carroll.
Yeah, man, come on, Charles Carroll. I'm saying Andy'd call back.
And I'm standing there with tears, a tear now forming in my cheek.
Andy Charlie.
And the lady who owns the house and runs the poll, Mr. Black Woman, turned to me and said, she looked at me and she saw my tear and she gave me this half smile, like a sympathetic, understanding smile, and said, that's okay. I've seen a lot of that here today. And I said, God, no, I'm crying because I got to move. There's too damn many black people this neighborhood.
Oh, my God, Frosty.
Oh, you redeemed yourself.
Never mind, Andy. We don't need you right now.
Anyway, everything but that last line happened. All the rest is true. Absolutely true.
I believe the last line and everything else didn't happen.
Oh, God.
Bryce, you're with Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
Hey, guys. I am I'm actually very mixed emotion today. I'm trying to sort out all the emotions that are going on today. I did not vote for Barack, but I felt he was going to win. There were just some issues that I felt more strongly with McCain about.
Mm-hmm.
But the nice thing about this election is that it's created an era – an aura, rather, of optimism within this country now. And because you saw so many white faces in the crowd in Chicago last night and in very different places throughout the country, that tells you that this country is, in certain ways, becoming more acceptable of the idea that there is more than just one race of people out here. And I'm glad also to see that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton can't say that anymore, that America is a racist country.
Yeah, that's what I said. They've kind of lost their whole shtick that, no, we are accepting, and then there's a black guy is the leader of the free world. He's the most important
man.
And
we all had to come together to elect him.
Right, exactly.
We couldn't have done it without the black voters. We couldn't have done it without Latino voters. We couldn't have done it without Asian voters. We couldn't have done it without white voters.
Mm-hmm.
And you did not see Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson very much at all.
I didn't see Al last night. Did anyone interview Al anywhere? I never saw.
Well, I'll tell you, I think across the world, in the world right now, our country is being looked at with better eyes, and I feel good about our country, and this is something that I think will probably help in the long run.
Bryce,
now we just have to be careful what we wish for and see what happens.
Bryce, if you flipped around like I did, if you flipped to the BBC and watched the international coverage, that was also moving to see their cameras stationed in everywhere from Iceland to Britain to Italy to Kenya, and all these people that were watching in the middle of the night, in their example, watching and jumping up and down and celebrating the American president selection, because they also know that we have turned the page. Some of this crap we've served them is now not going to be served to them anymore. America, they need us as a world leader. They want us to do well, and they have the same kind of hope that we do. It's like a global thing happened last night.
We just witnessed a lot of history, and for you guys, I was talking with my mother, who was around when Kennedy was around, and there's going to be some comparisons. They've already talked about certain references to Camelot and this and that. All I'm saying is the atmosphere has changed, and I think our country can move forward now and put some of these ugly issues behind us. And I'm just very optimistic, and it's great to be able to talk to you guys.
Well stated.
Thanks,
perfect, Bryce.
I've been informed that Jesse Jackson, his crying, the reason he was crying was because Oprah was standing on his foot. It's been confirmed.
He was trying to tell her to get off of it, but she couldn't understand what he was saying.
Our number's 888-520-9710. More of your calls when we come back. We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM Talk.
We are Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, day after the election. Well, we have a lot to say about that. And you can, 888-520-9710. We still have a big old guest coming in soon, too, eh?
Yes, Lawrence Taylor, top of the hour at noon, coming in to hang out with us.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he's got a new video game, Xbox 360. It's the Blitz the League 2, featuring football legend Lawrence Taylor. So he's promoting that. He's going to come in and talk about other things, what's going on in his life. How's he been doing? In the meantime, Steve, our engineer / producer / censor, he's in another studio, and I don't really get to see him. I mean, I can't see where he is right now, but he's out there somewhere, and I'm assuming he always listens to the program. But apparently he's in there cruising TMZ's website, and so I should be upset that he's not paying attention. But
yeah, well,
he found a gem, I guess, apparently last night on Fox 11 News, the local news. There was a local party for Barack Obama down at the Century Plaza in Century City.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a reporter out there from Fox at the Democratic Obama big shindig because he won. And here's a little bit of that clip that when Fox 11 shot it out to this guy.
Now back to you in the newsroom.
Oh, boy.
No, not that. I have to rewind it.
There we go. Room in Century City. Now back to you.
Oh, no, I got to rewind it again.
Just refresh it.
What's going on?
Okay, it's cute.
This proves it's live television, everybody.
It does prove it's live television. Couldn't have set this up for me any better.
A room in Century.
How'd it do that to me?
Go back and then hit it again.
Let me just refresh.
That's it. Oh, this can be
how's this going, Andy?
No, but you know what? I think it's going to be worth it.
Here it is.
All right. Well, listen, you know, there's so much love in this room tonight, this big ballroom, that I'm suspecting that in about 9 months there's going to be lots of new kids around, some of them perhaps named Barack. We're also smelling just a little bit of weed in the air. So I haven't been to many political events where you smell that, certainly not in this ballroom in Century City. Now back to you in the newsroom.
Oh, boy.
At the Century Plaza Hotel.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Ooh.
The fire marshal didn't get a whiff of that. Okay.
Oh, man.
Weed in the ballroom.
I think the reporter was high. He's kind of talking like a high guy there for a while.
I'm babies and sweet.
Talking like a high guy.
A lot of love.
Like a guy on Mary Jane on Goobage.
That's kind of funny. Don't you like the stuffed conservative news anchors?
Oh boy. Oh, dear.
Oh, naughty.
My.
Oh, we can't comment.
It's the Century Plaza. More on that later.
Our number is 888-520-9710. Hello, Dale in Lancaster.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Well, I was listening to Tom on the way home last night, and when Barack started his speech, I had to pull over and smoke a celebratory bowl.
That's how the Barack fans celebrate.
Well, I did.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Difference is you weren't on the roads like this guy.
Hmm.
I pulled over.
He pulled over.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
Yeah, he was responsible. Yeah, okay. He pulled over.
James, hello.
What's up, Frosty?
What's up, James?
Hey, don't you think it's ironic that the chickens got right and a black man became a president? Is that a correlation?
James.
And how did you get her bill passed?
I know, James. Oh, well. I'm half happy.
Hey, I love you guys, man. You guys bring sunshine to my day every day.
Well, let me give you a prize, James. I'm going to give you a pair of tickets to the 2008 Auto Club NHRA Finals. That's November 13th to the 16th at Pomona Raceway. Tickets are at AutoClubRacewayPomona.com.
Hey, Denise in Fullerton.
Yes, hi. I'm very happy about Obama.
Sound like it.
Yeah, I really, really am proud of America for that. However, I'm extremely sad about Proposition 8.
Me too.
I have a lot of friends who were voting for Proposition 8, and because of that and their Christian beliefs, I, out of respect, did tell them, yes, indeed, I was against it. However, I wasn't able to share my personal life with them. And
Your close friends who voted yes on 8 don't know that you're a lesbian?
Correct.
Why not?
Because of their Christian beliefs.
Yeah, so, but if they wouldn't be friends with you anymore because of the simple fact that you're gay, then why would you want to be friends with somebody like that?
I'm torn. It's like being gay in America. I'm a female. My family is Jewish. I'm a lesbian. It's very difficult.
Well, but the Jews are, I found, very accepting of gays and lesbians.
Some are. But I noticed that my circle of friends who are Christian, although they know I support it, and I've half alluded, haven't shared fully my personal life.
Half alluded. Not fully alluded.
Yes, because it's so difficult.
Did they understand?
Yeah, the preacher's wife has a great ass. What does it say? How do you half allude that you're a lesbian?
You just plant those little seeds.
Well, this is the problem with America. I mean, when you look at views around the world...
My favorite book in the Bible is Esther. What's your God?
Here's the thing. Here's what I was talking about this with the Italian this morning. I said, you know what? With Prop 8, yes on 8 being successful, unfortunately, and I was upset this morning, and I was pissed off, and I was crying and all that. We're not going to move forward until gay people are okay with ourselves. You're still not okay with yourself. So until you're okay with yourself and I'm okay with myself,
hey, preachy,
that it's going to get, we're going to move forward.
I understand. I understand your situation. Hold on. Let's drop her. Denise here doesn't have a lot of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't afford to be coming out to everybody and just be alone.
Exactly. It just happens to be, you know, and to boot, I converted, so...
To what?
To Christianity.
From what?
From Judaism. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just a strange event.
I don't know why she doesn't have more friends. I'm having just a wonderful time listening to her talk.
You know, I got two people you can call, Andy and Charlene.
I'd love to hang out with you. I want to say this. As I walked in my neighborhood, I saw signs for vote yes on Proposition 8, and I felt so torn. I felt angry. I felt mostly pain over the discrimination. If people would realize that almost every, within every family unit, there is somebody in there in my position.
But it starts with you, Denise. That's
my
point.
I feel sleepy.
She's saying every family there's a gay person.
Of course there
Who's
is.
Who's that person in your family, Frosty?
I think, well, it might
and if,
be...
And if you go, I don't, we don't have any, then it's you.
See, it's your question.
Might be a dead cousin.
Yeah, but I feel...
Oh, God, she's talking again.
No, I said drop her 10 minutes ago. Jesus Christ, I got to do everything for you.
Well, she stopped talking. I thought you had. And she was talking again. There she's still
I'll
there.
Hang up.
Heidi, who are you to tell her who her friends can be, though? That's kind of out of place.
No, I'm not. I would never tell anybody how to live
that. You said dump your friends if they can't take your truth.
No, I did not. I said, I asked her why. Would you want to be friends with somebody who you have to lie to?
Which means you shouldn't be friends with people like that.
If they love you, and they, oh, we love Denise. We love getting together with Denise. We love going to dinner and to concerts and to games with Denise. We love, love, love.
She always orders the fish. Wonder why.
Well, she's alluding to things subtly.
Let me put this in a way that I can personally relate to. Frank and I are great friends. I don't know why. Why in the hell?
You got a weird
word. But he's been like my best friend for 20 years.
All right.
Desperate for friends.
Yeah, he can't afford to get rid of me.
All right.
You could come to me, and who doesn't normally smoke dope, and go, why would you want to be friends with someone who smokes dope? Or you could come to me, who's a Christian, and say, why would you want to be friends with someone who's agnostic? You know what? Those things are not, it's none of your business who I'm friends
Frosty,
with. And I'm friends with Frank,
it's
the person,
totally not my
regardless
point.
Of the religious beliefs
really?
Or lack
because
thereof,
you're fine
regardless
with it.
Of his drug
you
use
me,
or lack
you?
Thereof, and regardless of his views on anything else.
Of course. That's a
so are you to tell me why would I be friends with someone
I'm
like him?
I'm not. I'm saying.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
You did.
You did.
Stand
not,
by
not
it.
Even close.
You were getting preachy and telling people, now that you have a passion.
How could you be friends with someone like
no, no, no. I asked her a question.
Now that you have a passion, I think we're all in for it. Because Heidi said before on the show that she's never had a passion before. And now that she does, don't get too soapboxy. Because I think that's what turns people away.
I don't want to get boxy.
Well, soap it up every now and then. But don't get preachy
not.
Or soapboxy or that you know best.
Frank,
because I'm just saying.
I'm only talking about it today because we're talking about it. I'm not going to bring it up tomorrow. I don't even want to talk about it.
You said you're going to be an advocate now
not
because now you
show?
Have a passion.
Not on this show.
Well, let's just make sure that never happens.
I have a whole other life outside of 4 hours from here.
No, you don't.
Well, I'm gonna, is my point.
Watching dogs and drinking wine is not a lie.
But I'm gonna add other things.
But this is your biggest microphone. Why wouldn't you be an advocate here? How can you be an advocate
this
for
is your voice.
A group of 12? You get on the air and
I've
you're not
been told
advocate
no one's
to a group
listening.
Of 15.
Why would I do it here?
Yeah, smaller
that
audience.
Silly.
She's a bigger audience in our living room.
You're right. Combined, it's an audience of 31.
Right.
Check out yourself.
Not here. I'll find another place to do it. Christ.
God, honey, how can you be friends with people like that?
No,
let me tell you, you
no,
can be friends
point,
with your friends.
No, you're totally misunderstanding what I'm saying.
All right.
She had the problem. I said, why would you? Why would I want to have a group of people who, if they really knew me, wouldn't want to be friends with me? If they knew that I was gay and they were like, oh, I'd never be friends with gay people. And it's like, well, then why would I want to be friends with you? You're ignorant.
That's exactly what we're
What's
saying.
What's wrong with saying that?
Because her sexuality is none of her friends' business. Don't
She's
you have
the
friends
one who
that
had
you don't
a problem
have...
with. She's the one that said, I'm really torn and... I don't want to live my, you know, I'm living my life in this lie.
She
and
said
not,
they know that she voted no on 8, but they don't know
why?
That she is a lesbian.
Right.
And she can't come out to them because they're Christians.
And because they would, what, not want to be friends with
but
her?
But their friendship is not about sex and sexual
Clearly
persuasion.
Clearly it is, because that's the make
no,
or break.
No, it's not.
Because
they
if
don't
she
even
told
know
them,
who she's
well,
sleeping
no,
with.
No, she said if they knew that she was gay, they wouldn't want to be friends with her because they're Christian.
There you go. So she values the friendship over a little
See,
pithy.
No,
well,
no.
Then she has no problem.
Here's the thing. If I didn't tell you I was agnostic and acted like I was a Christian and then came out to you that I don't believe the same things you believe, but I've been faking it this whole time, you might drop me as a friend. If you thought we were friends and you didn't even know me at all.
So,
well, okay,
so whole,
I get that.
The whole
but what
thing is based on sexuality.
No, but what that lady was doing, in Frank's example, we don't discuss religion. It's not part of our friendship.
Well, we do, but you get all pissy.
Just because you're so wrong and going to hell. Okay, we have to break. Hey, is that guest guy coming in?
I think so. Oh, I don't know if he's here yet. Is LT here? Yeah, I guess he's in the green room right now. So
don't go away.
Coming up next, Lawrence Taylor.
We're Frosty, Heidi, and Frank.
This is 97.1 FM.